Welcome to Neighborhood Church. To learn more about who we are as a community or to financially support Neighborhood, go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, Neighborhood Church. Good morning. My name is Rebecca Rick. My pronouns are she, they, and I am one of the other pastors of this fine gathering. Thank you so much for being a part of this service today. I'm excited as a storyteller to bring this word to you today. It wasn't very long ago when I was last here. It wasn't at all. It was great. If you were here a couple weeks ago, I gave a sermon on our value of fun, and it was kind of a fun service. I was kind of hoping in my mind, you know, we could have this big like food truck fair or something outside, or I don't know, maybe somebody would sign up to do some sort of like game show at Olympics thing, you know, have it be out of the box. And it really wasn't. It was just down to earth. And it was all right. It was a little bit different than what I had hoped for in my mind at one time when I had more energy and time and grand ideas, and God had a way to filter it down. I normally am up here just a few times in the year because I'm usually downstairs with our youngest little neighbors. They are downstairs right now having a blast, doing a little activity, which is reflective of what we're doing up here today. And so let me start off with a little bit of a story of how my July ended. I came to you guys preaching about fun and our value of fun and how we should incorporate fun into our lives. And that was super easy for me because I was planning on a whole bunch of fun. I was heading out to a musical festival with some friends, and we were going to do that for 5 days without kids, running around, having deep spiritual connections with other people, having fun, living life out of the box, living in a community that has no commerce, where everyone just gives and receives freely, where people take care of each other the way that, in a lot of ways, I think the Lord calls us to live. And then I was going to come home for 4 days, and I was going to have a chance to take over my house and create some spaces for myself so I could read and feel at home in my own walls. And then I was meeting a group of women for another 4 days to go to the Boundary Waters. My first time ever. I've been waiting for years to go. And 2 days after I gave my sermon on fun, I let my beautiful cats outside for a little rendezvous in the bushes, and one of them got away, which happens sometimes. But when I tracked him down, he had just gotten into a fight with another cat and was still spooked. And when I went to go lovingly pick him up to bring him back to unlimited resources and love, he was not happy, and he bit me. What looked on the surface like a scratch, which could have been some puncture marks, maybe could have used a couple stitches, slowly became the rest of my July. Here I was planning all of these fun, amazing things, waiting for God to speak to me through these deep spiritual connections that I knew I was going to have. And the universe asked me to take a step back and have that spiritual connection with myself first. And I was not happy about it. I was, but it took me a long time to readjust. Some of my friends get together and we play different card games. There are some people who play role-playing games where they're kind of mission-based and based on storytelling. And in those games, there are dice that look like this. This is a 20-sided dice called a D20 for us who play games that contain dice like this. And this dice is often used to determine the likelihood of something happening. So if I'm in a campaign and I'm, saying I'm going to go to the Boundary Waters in this mythical campaign, right? We can roll this dice to see if that is likely to happen or unlikely to happen. The dice is rolled. I can't control it. It is what it is. And the game moves on. In life, I was looking for a time of spiritual connectedness. What I got was spiritual connectedness. Each one of these dice has different facets. It doesn't change the fact that this is a dice. The way that we come face to face with it, the number that we are given, the wisdom that I take from this experience today, the wisdom I would have taken had it been a little bit different, the wisdom that I will take from thinking about this situation 5 years from now, the wisdom that I take in passing this wisdom on to someone else looks different every single time, but it's still at its core wisdom. So, I would like to open us up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Earthly Mother, the seat beneath us, the ground beneath us, that anchors us to all things, that connects us to all around us. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you for being inside us and in our stories. May we rediscover you and your meanings day after day after day in this greatest campaign. Amen. So I was in the hospital over 2 stays for 8 days. And I will tell you that I feel a little embarrassed about it. I do. Because when I show people my scar, because everything is skinned over now, it doesn't look like anything that should require 8 days of intense medical help. But I'll tell you, when you have an injury to your knuckles and all of those tendons and baby bones and ligaments are put under constant pressure because of infection, it feels like a grown man has his heel on your knuckles and is putting all of his weight down. When talking to my nurses about my pain level, I would oftentimes have to jump and have a whole story of like, well, if the scale goes from 1 to 10, and 10 is being eaten alive by a bear, and 8 was me giving birth to 9-pound babies without medication, then this is probably, a 6.5. And they're like, so do you want some ibuprofen? And I'm like, oh God, I'm going to need a little bit more than that. And so when I'm there, trying my best to advocate for myself, trying to be in control of my experience, there are a few touch points that I wanted to get back to. One, I realized I had a lot of time on my hands and I didn't know why I was here. I didn't know why. But I'll tell you, in those 8 days, I had some of the very best conversations with some lovely friends that came to see me. I got to see some of the best and worst things about our healthcare system. I got to hear a gentleman cry for hours in pain. Hours in pain. God damn it! Jesus, help me! Over and over in tears, all night long. I got to see and walk by the sights and smells of people who have been forgotten. And that was a spiritual profoundness and deepness that I wouldn't have gotten someplace else. Now, I'm not saying that the universe conspired against me to ruin all my fun or whatever. We understand bad things happen. Hard things happen. And we as humans look for reasons and meanings behind it all. And what we take from our situations today will be different than what we take from it in a year, in 5 years, in 30 years. In the hospital, I wanted to do a lot of reading. One of the things that I wanted to get to, and no one in my entire house could find this book, I was so mad. I was like, it's the only thing I want you to bring to me at the hospital. Forget the clean clothes. Just bring me the book. Was this book, The Wee Freeman by Terry Pratchett. It is a beautiful little story. It is about a girl who has a younger brother who she just never asked for in life, who is just the stickiest finger toddler ever. He's just annoying. And she finds herself in this space where she is in a very real world, a very humble, practical world. And she realizes she's in this liminal space where there's this other magic about her. And she feels the responsibility to be, in some way, a keeper of that space, to keep that space safe for all people. And the way that the author writes this book, there are wisdom, chunks of wisdom, almost on every single page. And when I'm reading it, I can't read more than two or three pages before I have to set it down because it's so profound. Me going through this book to try to tell you examples of this, hard to find it, right? I'm flipping through it and it just feels like dialogue, dialogue, dialogue. But when you're in it, you can see it. For me, as someone who has had to relook at how I connect to the Bible, I feel in some ways this book kind of reminds me of the Bible in that there are sections of the Bible that have such deep, profound wisdom that I can only read just a little snippet on it. And then I have to take some time to actually sit and think and mull it over and really deal with and look at all of the different meanings that I can take from that verse. In Jewish history, in Jewish commentary, they say that every verse in the Bible has 70 different interpretations. 70. Now, is that an actual number? I mean, for some people it is. But the point is there is more under the surface. There's more than just a first glance. So when I was in the hospital and feeling all of the pain, I went home after 8 days, and I'll be dead honest, I was kind of embarrassed to show anyone my scar. Because I knew it didn't look like a lot. And when I got home, I read my book, and I was thinking about how much I love reading, how I want to get back into reading, and God spoke to me and was like, if you want to be good at giving the word of God, you need to make sure you're still in the word of God yourself. And so I had a conversation with God. I said, I want to give something, but I don't know. There's so many stories in here that I don't know what to believe about anymore. And some are based in the concepts, cruel world realities that I don't want in my world anymore. Genocide, sexism, oppression, religious domination. I don't want any of that. I want words that I can stand behind. And God brought me to Matthew 7. So like a real church, because that's what we are, we've got scripture for you today. Woo-woo! Hit us with some scripture, baby. So I would like for us to take a look at Matthew 7. And here is why. Actually, can I borrow that for a second? God reminded me of a time when I was doing a project. It doesn't matter what it was because I can't remember. But I remember I was doing a project and I was doing it without safety glasses. This is really important because as I did it, something happened and something hit me straight in my eye. And it was excruciating. I tried for a very, very long time to get this out of my eye. It felt like there was a knife in my eye. I couldn't see it. My eye was watering. I tried the where you tip down and you blink your eye 1,000 times in a row. I tried water. Nothing could get it out. It took me a very long time. Eventually, I did. But if I were to take that speck that was in my eye and show it to you, how many of you would say, oh, that was bothering you? How did that little thing hurt you? And I think about that when my kids ask me, Mom, just mail the bills. Why can't you remember to mail the bills? And when I think back to my dad telling me that women who had septum piercings got them because they want to be treated like animals. The speck, it's a stupid thing that an old man said. It's a speck, but for 5 years, I didn't pierce my septum because I thought every day of that speck. It was a log in my mind. It was a log in front of me, clouding how I saw the world ahead of me. There are things in our lives that we struggle with that to other people are nothing but a speck. And so I remembered this, and so I opened up my Bible, and I read Matthew 7. We're going to read on the left first. This is coming from Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. He is preached, who knows, it's kind of made it seem like it's all done in one day. Who knows how long it actually took. He goes and preaches all day to a massive crowd. He has just given us the Lord's Prayer, and then we start in on chapter 7. We're just going to read verses 1 through 5 today. It says, "Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For the judgment you give will be the judgment you get, and the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own? Or how can you say to your neighbor, let me take that speck out of your eye, while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye." But I'll tell you, That was not what I read. Because what I actually read was the Message version, which is right next to it. And when I read it, I went, what? Did I even get the right section of Bible? Wait a second. Did I pick the right verse? Oh, it is. But once again, it's in a different translation. It's a different layer of the meaning. And so we're going to take a look at that. I'm let you read it right here, just by yourselves, verses 1 through 5. Similar, but different. For me, it hits a little bit differently. And so I've actually gone ahead and I've printed out all of Matthew 7 for us. We're not going to sit and collectively talk about all of them, but there will be a time here shortly where we're going to have some music, and I invite you to dance between the two translations. Because what fits you today might be different than what has fit you in the past, and there may be wisdom between both of them. For me, my translation of the speck in my eye being feeling like a log to me is a third translation of this text. It's not there. It is, but it's not. You have to jump in the text and imagine for yourself what it would feel like to have that happen to you. And then you have to take the next step and you have to apply that to other situations around you. So when you have something, maybe a kid who has struggles, a kid who has a diagnosis, a breakup happens, an illness, whatever it is, there may be people in your life who look at that situation and pass judgment on it and say, how is that the thing that is tripping you up? And we are called, as followers of Christ, to deal with our own hurts first, before we try to pass on well-intended help to others. We need to make sure that we are right and connected with our Father, that we have right standing with our neighbors, that we are right standing with ourselves before we try to pass ourselves off. If you take a look at the Message halfway down in that piece, it says, it's this whole traveling roadshow mentality all over again, playing the holier-than-thou part instead of just living your part. And I think that that's that piece of removing the log, dealing with our own stuff, dealing with our own struggles, and being honest with ourselves that they're there. Which can be a hard thing to do. So, I am going to give us a few minutes to take a look at both of these texts in parallel. I invite you to do the churchy thing. Read them together. Maybe talk about them with the person you're sitting with. If not, if you just want to close your eyes and listen to the music and connect to the Father, we can all connect and gain something from this moment together. It'll look different for each one of us. But I'm going to ask that we, for a couple minutes, just sit with this text and let it speak to us. Thank you. hopefully you were able to take a look at some of the things I pulled out of this text, particularly the golden rule. I love the Message translation for that. We're actually going to close with the Message, verses 24 and 25. It says, "These words I speak to you," meaning his Sermon on the Mount, "are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on." I'll repeat that. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed on the rock. May we always find grounding in the wisdom of these ancient books, these 66 books thrown together from poetry to boring account ledgers to action to just profound teachings. May we always have the ability to see where we are being led, regardless of what the world throws at us. If you enjoyed looking at the Message today, I do want to let you know we have a few extra copies here that are free to you. If you, like me, have been in a reading slump and you need a fresh way to get excited about the Word of God again, I invite you to grab one of these. And if not, you can definitely talk to me or others about other reading suggestions that we have. Thank you so much, Neighborhood Church, for being here. Thank you. It is a blessing to me. Now go, and let's enjoy the day and bring home some of those donuts.